السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ. نحمده ونصلی علی رسوله الکریم، اما بعد. علماء کرام، ریسپیکٹڈ برادرز، آلسو اور سسٹرز، لسن اور ریسیورز، اے فورٹ نائٹ اگو وی آر ڈسکسنگ اباؤٹ دا سائنس آف قیامہ وچ آر ریلیونٹ ٹو اور ٹائمز. وی کین فائنڈ آل دا مائنر سائنس ہیو بیکم ویری ویری اپیرنٹ. There does not seem to be anything left of the minor signs. The coming of Imam Mahdi and all the other things, it seems, is very, very imminent. However, no one can pinpoint and say exactly which day, which year, which time it is going to happen. Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave many warnings and he gave many glad tidings. For the people in the time of fitnas, when they are going to restrain themselves, because that is what we are discussing, the times of fitnas, different kinds of mischief and corruption which has become prevalent. So the people at that time will be greatly rewarded also if they have to restrain themselves. When all around them the fire of fitnas are burning, all around them there's nothing but the fires of sin, and it is spreading like wildfire too. So then at such a time, it becomes indeed a bit difficult for a person to practice upon deen and sharia. So the person who is going to practice at that time, he will get rewards also multiplied. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had predicted that the time will come, when time will come very close. The meaning of that hadith sharif, in which Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam states about the coming of the time, or the time will become very close. And the further explanation that he gives himself is that the year will pass by like a month, the month like a week, the week like a day, the day like an hour, and the hour will pass by like how if there is a dry leaf of a tree or a blade of grass, and somebody has to just put a match on that blade of grass, how that flame within seconds has disappeared. That is how that hour is going to pass. Now, can anybody deny that we are living in that time? We all were talking about Ramadan Sharif came and went so fast that nobody knows when it came and when it went. Then we are talking about Eid and people preparing for Hajj. They already went for Hajj, they returned. Then the people in business were talking about Christmas. Christmas came and went. New Year's came and went. We just cannot keep pace with time. We cannot even absorb whatever is happening around the world. The information, we can't even absorb. We don't even have the time and capacity to absorb anymore. So many things are happening, so fast they are happening. You hear of a disaster here, you hear of a disaster there. Before you can come to grips, there's already so many in other parts of the world. You hear of war here, battle there, killings here, murders there, bombings here and destruction there. And before you can even come to grips with that information, so many others have already taken place. When it comes to sicknesses and diseases, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's prediction that which our forefathers didn't even hear of, you will hear of such kind of diseases in the society. And the major cause of that would be that the people would be indulging in adultery, in fornication. This will become so rife that because of that, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will cause such kind of diseases that the forefathers never heard of. Again, we must not misunderstand that the very pious and a righteous person and a God-fearing person also can be sometimes affected by some disease of the time. So that does not in any way make him a sinful person. We know that AIDS is a serious disease and it is very, very rampant. And millions of people, they say, are going to die sooner or later because of this disease. Now, all the debate that is taking place in the health circles, we are not going into that. But from the information that we are given, and the statistics, then we say that it is a very, very dangerous epidemic, or it has reached epidemic proportions. So now that does not mean that a little baby who is suddenly affected by AIDS is a very sinful baby, or the mother who was innocent, never committed any such crime, but got affected, is a sinful person. Or sometimes it could be a great waliullah that went to the hospital and there was a blood transfusion that took place and the person got affected by AIDS. So does it mean, or a doctor was injecting and the needle happened to injure him, and as a result that same doctor got affected by AIDS. So we will not say that now they all are very sinful people, because they have been affected by a disease which Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala sends normally at a time when people are indulging in adultery, fornication, homosexual relationship. So now this is a sin, or it is the result of their sins. They haven't even gone anywhere near it. So for them it will be an elevation of their status, it will be bringing them closer to Allah ta'ala. It will be rewards that will be given to them in this world, in the akhirat, on the patience that they will exercise. So we must not run to conclusions that any person that is affected by a certain kind of sickness or disease that is rampant is because of the sins. It's because of the sins that are prevalent in the society at that time. But individuals after that, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will reward them according to their actions. And this will be a means of their elevation. Like if flood waters have to come, or if there's an earthquake and a shake-up, there's a tremor that has taken place, and thousands of homes disappeared, thousands of people disappeared. Now amongst them, there will be the pious, the righteous, those who were making their five-time namaz, giving zakat, fasting, going for hajj, staying away from adultery, fornication, speaking lies, gambling, stealing. They too will be caught up in those kind of floods and those kind of earthquakes. But for them it's not going to be an azab, it is going to be a blessing in disguise. So that we are not the judge, that for whom it is an azab and for whom it is not an azab. All I am saying is that the predictions of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, they are a warning for mankind, that if we are not going to make an effort to stop those people indulging in such kind of vices and sins and evils, if we are not going to say anything about it, if we are also going to be very relaxed and comfortable when zina is committed right in front of our eyes, when children are watching zina on the television screens and on the porn sites, when our families are enjoying watching such kind of zina, although they may not be committing, and nothing happens, not even a frown on the forehead, then we must learn that hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, that Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam was told to upturn, overturn, topple a certain city or certain place. So the Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam said, yes, but in there is a certain very pious person. He hasn't committed any sin. Then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala said, yes, together with him. Because when all these sins were being committed, at that time not even a frown came on his forehead. In other words, he never felt grieved, he never felt hurt. So it's not only that one person that is mentioned in the Hadith Sharif. All of us have to take a lesson. That if before our very eyes we can see that the children are taking drugs, or the women are indulging in adultery, or the husband is indulging and engaging in all kinds of haram, so nobody has got any courage to say anything to anybody. We mustn't say anything to anybody. So now what kind of a society that will be? Then we have become people who have accepted the norms of the society. Yes, we have to look at the occasion. It does not mean, I have always said this, mentioned it very, very clearly, that it does not mean that you must just take a brick and hit it at somebody's head and be very rude and very harsh, especially when you're dealing with an individual. One is in a bayan, you will say in general terms that we must stay away from this, it is a serious matter, and this is the azab of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Now there, whoever the cap fits, he will wear it. But nobody is pointed in particular. But when you are dealing with an individual, when the husband is saying to his wife, when the wife is saying to the husband, or the children are talking to the parents, or the parents are talking to the children, or the brothers to the sisters, or the family members. Now at that time you have to see the right occasion. Many a times you have to keep absolutely quiet, because that person who is engaged in that particular sin at that time, your saying it at that time may just make him blurt out some statement of kufr. So at present he was in some sin, and now he's gone out of the pale of Islam. So we have to even look at that. At that time just make dua and separate yourself. I always say to the madrasa that if it is friends that you are amongst, and you are playing some game, and it's time for namaz. Now at that time, don't say, right, all stop game, let's go for namaz. And you know that those children or those girls or those boys, they don't make namaz. Now if you are going to say, let's go, don't you all know it's farz? It's haram not to make namaz. Now if only they blurted some statement, it'll make kufr. At that time say, it is time for salah, I am just going to make my salat. And that is an automatic invitation that it's time you should also make salah. It happens in many walimas, in many marriages or weddings that are taking place, in many parties and feasts that take place in Muslim homes, where the time of salat and the azans are also taking place from 10 masajid around, but the person doesn't have the courage to make his salat. Now at that time there may be a few people there who make salat. So what is the best way? To say that azan has taken place and I'm going for my salat. But the point here is that if the person is not going to say anything and accept everything that is happening, so then when the disaster takes place, then everybody will have to suffer the consequences. So it's for our own good that we stop those things happening around us. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned that. Then a hadith sharif that just clicked suddenly in my mind, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that a time will come. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said the time will come. Sayyati al-nasi zaman. لا يبقى من القرآن إلا اسمه لا يبقى من الإسلام إلا اسمه ولا من القرآن إلا رسمه مساجدهم عامرة وهي خراب من الهدى علماؤهم شر من تحت أديم السماء من عندهم تخرج الفتنة وفيهم تعود وكما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. نبي عليه الصلاة والسلام says the time will come, and if he says the time will come, it will definitely come. And I'm just giving the meaning and an explanation of that hadith sharif. And I truly believe that whenever Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala puts something suddenly into the mind, then it's beneficial for all of us, for myself and everybody else. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says the time will come when the only thing that will remain of Islam will be its name. The name of Islam. Everybody will do everything in the name of Islam. Islam, everybody will talk about Islam. And we can see how throughout the world now this is on the lips of everyone. Everyone, Islamic, everything is Islamic. You must just put one label Islam and finish, it becomes a way Islamic. We have Islamic rap, we have Islamic pop, we have Islamic dance, we have Islamic songs with musical instruments. We have everything Islamic. Everything is Islamic. So much so that now we have beer also, which they say it is halal beer. And you get it in Makkah Sharif, you get it in Madina Sharif. Halal beer. What they say is that they have taken out that intoxicating part of that beer, and therefore now it has become halal. So then even urine will become halal. Purification of urine, they can make it halal. So Islam will remain in name. In everything it is Islam. We will do everything wrong. There will be intermingling, there will be all kinds of fun and entertainment and pleasure, mixing of the sexes and enjoyment and everything, and they will say it is Islamic sports. Islamic sports. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, how true is prediction that they will change the name. Alcoholic drinks, they will change the name. Now they will call it tonic or anything else. The name will be changed. Interest will be given the name of dividend and profit. The person is taking interest, but is calling it profit. So calling interest profit does not make it profit. And calling profit interest does not make it interest. We have to understand the masail. I know of many people, because I have been dealing with this over the years, many people whose families, the senior members of their families, had some good intention that this widow has received a certain amount of inheritance, say 50,000, 30,000, 100,000. Now how is she going to live? So therefore they say, invest your money in my business and I will give you 5,000 rands a month or 10,000 rands a month or 10%. Now the woman has given, or the widow has given her 100,000 to that family member for investment in that business. Now she receives monthly a fixed rate of return on her investment. But whereas that money hasn't been invested in the true sense of the word, that money was just taken and put into the business, and the person is running his business, and from there he takes a certain amount of money and gives it to her. It's not that he's giving her 10% of the profit, because if she invested 10% and now she's going to get 10% of the profit, then that will be profit. But here, a fixed rate every month, I will give you so much. Now it became very interest. So calling interest profit will not make it profit, and calling profit interest will not make it interest. Now these are masail which I'm not going to go into. It was just that I'm talking about Islam. That Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that nothing will remain of Islam except its name. Look at the radio stations of the Muslim countries. They say that this is an Islamic radio station. First they will have qiraat. The early part of the morning starts off with the qiraat. Then they will have some Naat Sharifs. And after that, immediately song and music and dramas and everything else. But they will say it's an Islamic station. Take the television in many of the Muslim countries and wherever it is. We say Islamic television. Now what does that mean? Now there you will find the ladies, the men, everything. There's a nice mix-up, nice partying and everything, and it's Islamic. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says it will remain in name. Everything we say must make it Islamic. Islamize everything. And what is the easiest way to Islamize everything? Is that take everything Western and anything that is un-Islamic, just put the title, the Islamic. So it becomes very Islamic. So what a warning Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is giving. La yabqa min al-Islam illa ismuhu. We can discuss this at length. But we have enough examples before our very eyes. Look around and you will find so many things which are called Islamic. Has it got anything to do with Islam? And as far as the Quran Sharif is concerned, it will be in letters. Beautiful Quran Sharif will be printed. Calligraphy will be of the highest type. And everything of the best. Beautiful covers, beautiful juzdans. Now there's nothing wrong with it. There's nothing wrong if it is done out of respect for the Quran Sharif. It is nothing wrong. You can have gold and silver lining of the letters of the Quran Sharif, there's nothing wrong. It does not mean that anything that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned as a sign of Qiyamah, then it will be haram. It doesn't mean that. But what it means is that this Quran Sharif now, which is being given such kind of treatment, that it is decorated and everything is there. But at the same time, if you have to look at the Quran Sharif, it will be just in words. In the Quran Sharif, there will be just the letters there, or the huffaz will have it in their hearts. But when it comes to the practice and the action field, then you will find that there will be such negligence that even shaitan will become ashamed of those huffaz of the Quran Sharif. Go to the rave clubs and see how many huffaz of the Quran Sharif. Go to the rehab centers and see how many huffaz of the Quran Sharif. And just go look around in our own families and see how many people, the parents were so desirous, my son must become hafiz of the Quran Sharif. Where are they? Where are their beards gone, which come up in the month of Ramadan? Where is their character? Where is the akhlaq? Where is the 5 times salat? Where is that azmat of the Quran Sharif in their hearts? So now that will not mean that the person must not become hafiz of the Quran Sharif. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned with regards to Hajj that some people will go there just for tourism. Some people will just go for business towards latter times. And some poor people will go for begging. And the learned and the ulama will go there just for name and fame. That so and so made so many Hajj. Every year without fail he made Hajj. So now does that mean that nobody must go for Hajj? What it means is that don't go with those intentions. So here also the Quran Sharif, that will be its condition. We'll discuss inshallah some other time in detail. Then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, and the ulama, they will be the worst, the learned, their scholars will be the worst under the canopy of the earth, of the skies. From them will emanate fitnas, and towards them it will return. That means all these fatwas of halal, halal, halal that you will be getting, of everything, anything that there is a demand for, then it is halal. Because they themselves are involved in it. They themselves are part and parcel of that whole norm of the society. So they will not have the courage to tell the people that this is something that is haram. You have to stay away from it. If that alim himself is glued to the television screen there all the time, if he himself is indulging in that same kind of business that others are doing, which is not halal, and permissible. And if he himself hasn't got that akhlaq and that character, which is in the books of Hadith Sharif and Quran Sharif, so then how is he going to have the courage to tell somebody else that no, you should not do it this way, you should do it this way? So the fitnas are going to emanate from there. And recently we know that all over the world people are just qualifying from different Islamic institutions, and they are coming up with degrees, and they are coming up with PhDs, and they are coming up with so many different qualifications in the different fields, in Hadith Sharif, Quran Sharif, this and that, and now they are giving fatwas. They say, we are expert in this field. So the fitnas will arise from them, because the people will then become terribly confused. But that will not be an excuse for those people also, that we were confused because there was difference of opinion amongst the ulama. There will always be a difference of opinion, even amongst the righteous ulama, the pious ulama, the good ulama, those who know the Quran and Sunnah, there will be a lot of differences. But just because two surgeons are differing on their opinion, then we don't say undergo surgery anymore. Because two doctors have got different opinions, so we say don't go to any doctor anymore. Because two lawyers have got different opinions, so don't go to any lawyers anymore. We don't do that. And then look at our government and our constitution, and look at our courts. How many different courts there are until finally they go to a constitutional court. But we haven't heard anybody say up till now, close up all the courts because there are a lot of differences of opinion amongst the judges. So like that, there will be differences of opinion, but Allah Ta'ala has given us some intellect also. In all other matters we use our intellect. So in these matters also we must use our intellect. We must look at the background of that mufti, of that maulvi, of the person who is giving such fatwas. What is his background? Is there piety in his life? Is there taqwa in his life? Has he studied as a reliable institution? Did he spend sufficient time at that institution? Did he qualify at the feet of those tutors also who were pious, righteous, and experts in the field of the Quran and Sunnah and Hadith Sharif? Then we go and submit ourselves, and then don't run to 10 different muftis to find one fatwa to suit our taste. Then accept the decision of the mufti that we have, in our opinion, considered to be an honest, reliable, trustworthy mufti. Whether it goes against our nafs or it is in favor, we must accept that decision. It's not that because he gave a decision now which is against our nafs, so now we go and search for another one, then another one, then you will find some difference somewhere, which we will say then it's a fatwa of a mufti sahib. But ask our own nafs, that is this fatwa being accepted because of my nafs, or it is because it is that which I believe to be according to the Quran and Sunnah. So my respected brothers, these ahadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, what can we do? The time is expired. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to understand. And in these times of fitna, Allah ta'ala give us protection from these fitnas. Good people are getting washed away in these fitnas. May Allah ta'ala protect us, our children, our families, and the ummah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. May he remove the difficulties, hardships and problems that the ummah is facing around the globe, especially at present in Somalia, in Sudan, Chechnya, Bosnia, Afghanistan, Palestine, Iraq, you know better than myself what the ummah is going through. At such a time, how much we should be making dua for them and helping in which other way possible.